take my time, not try to make friends with people, and stay to myself. So what I ended up doing was making artwork. So first I'll go through and I'll find some kind of imagery that I connect to.
Jesse started leafing through the New York Times in his cell and cutting out images.
I'll use a thumbtack and I'll cut the image out.
Then he transferred the images onto prison bedsheets using hair gel and a spoon, creating surreal collages and landscapes.
So once I have the image, I will make the bottom sheet where the image is going to be transferred wet using the hair gel.
And the funny thing is that even though Jesse tried to isolate himself with the art, it ended up drawing people closer.
I would say the first person who came in was this guy named Danny. He was kind of one of the shot callers on the block that I was on. He started asking me if I could do a portrait of his kids. It humanized him to me, and I think it humanized me to him. So once the area is wet, you take the image, you place it face down on the sheet.
Eventually, so many inmates got interested in Jesse's artwork that they convinced the guards to let him teach a class. It was one of the first multiracial classes at the prison,
which was kind of unheard of at the time.
After a couple years at Butner, Jesse transferred out to a lower security prison where he had his own dedicated studio space. That's where he started working on his most ambitious project yet, an enormous mural that spanned 39 prison bedsheets.
It's really transcendental and kind of meditative in a way.
Every sheet was covered with newspaper images depicting world events, the Egyptian Revolution and the Arab Spring, the Haitian earthquake, a submerged roller coaster in the wake of Hurricane Sandy.
So transferring these images into the fabric of the prison was a way for me to mark time and create this whole kind of history and timeline of everything that was happening in the world while I was separated from it.
Every time he finished a panel, he'd send it to his girlfriend on the outside. Technically, the bedsheets were considered contraband, and he didn't want to risk having his masterpiece confiscated. He didn't see the whole thing assembled until he was released in September 2013.
Seeing the whole piece together for the first time was, I don't know, it was really empowering. I felt like I had beat the system, and I was able to create this kind of positive piece of work that let me know that this was over.
Jesse now works for the Philadelphia Mural Arts Program and recently had his first solo show, and he continues to collaborate on projects with incarcerated men. In August, the St. Louis suburb of Ferguson, Missouri exploded into the national consciousness after a white police officer shot an unarmed black teen named Michael Brown. The incident set off weeks of protests and unrest, raising questions about the militarization of local police departments across the country and their use of lethal force. 1,000 miles southwest of Ferguson, people in Albuquerque, New Mexico, watched the events in Missouri with an uneasy sense of deja vu. Since 2010, the Albuquerque Police Department has killed more than 24 people. Their rate of deadly shootings is higher than that of the police department in New York, a city 14 times bigger than Albuquerque. And while the Ferguson shooting has raised difficult questions about race, the shootings in Albuquerque have raised hard questions about the victimization of the homeless and the mentally ill. For years, most people in the city paid little attention to what was happening, until the families of some of the victims started speaking out.
Right here in our neighborhood, as he was growing up, we had 3 police officers who lived within a block and a half of our house. And Christopher had a great deal of respect for law enforcement.
Stephen Torres raised his family, including his son Christopher, here on Albuquerque's west side.
In fact, I'll give you one funny story. Christopher and I were driving to a